Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. I'm going to start by sharing with you a video content which you will watch this following week in your house church. We are doing this alignment, the power to change, and it starts on the Sunday with the Sunday message, and then everyone is encouraged to join a house church, and you're going to watch this video along with the Sunday morning and weekly house church. Everyone is also being encouraged to follow and meditate the soul food, the daily devotion. So all those three things are lined up. Now, her name is Sarah, the person in the video. She grew up in a Christian home, and her father was burnt out with work, with life, and also, she said, with church also. And one day, he left the family. He divorced her mother, and he was gone, and the family was shattered, broken. And this is what she says in the video. I felt abandoned. I felt neglected. I felt unwanted. And my father's leaving left a whole, a tremendous void in my life, and it broke my mom's heart as well. And that affected Sarah's relationship with God, because she was taught God is like her father in heaven. And because of her broken relationship with her earthly father, it really destroyed and affected negatively her relationship with God the Father. She felt stuck. Can you relate to her? Maybe not in those specific examples, but can you relate to her in terms of being stuck? You want to be changed. Sarah wants to be changed. She didn't want to stay where she was, and she was experiencing hell. She was having all kinds of emotional and mental obstacles. Can you relate to her in that? You have obstacles that you don't like what you see in the mirror about yourself. There are things about you, about your character, about your trait, about how you handle life, how you go about your daily living. You don't like much of it, and you want to change, and you have tried in the past, and it didn't go anywhere. Maybe you can relate to her. And this is why we're doing this series called The Power to Change. With the person of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus Christ sent from the Father, change is possible. That was last week's message. Change is possible. It's not only a wish, not only a desire, but since God wills it, that change is also available and possible. Today, we will be talking about what is our part? How do I partner with the Holy Spirit? How do I work with the Holy Spirit in such a way that change is indeed not only possible but expected? Let me take you to Romans chapter 12. Receive the word of the Lord. It's only two verses, so I invite you to read along together. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, by the Holy Spirit living in us, the Holy Spirit whom Jesus sent from you, open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, that we may see Jesus, that we may hear Jesus, that we may conceive Jesus in our hearts, O Lord, to your glory. Amen. Friends, would you please utilize the sermon outline, which you can download from our website. If you do use the sermon line, you are going to do me a favor because you're going to make me a better preacher because you are using the sermon outline. Oh, but just don't do it just for me. Do it for yourself. If you use the sermon line, it's going to help you retain the truth of God's word. Don't do it just for me and you. Ultimately, do it for the Lord, because when you use the sermon line, when you retain the knowledge and when you live it out, apply it, God will be glorified. Here's the theme and the goal of the whole message. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the scripture. Let's say that together. Be transformed. Come on, let's say it like you mean it. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the scripture. That word, transform, in Greek is metamorpho, from which we get the English word, can you guess it? Metamorphosis. It's that kind of transformation. Again, we've been talking all months. We're not trying to become a better person. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not, Victor, try harder. Discipline yourself, improve yourself, and become a better and a new version of yourself. That's not it. What Jesus is offering, what he wants for you and me, is that we become new creatures, new creation. As in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. We're not trying to train a horse to jump higher. We are trying to give the horse a set of wings so that the horse can fly, in the words of C.S. Lewis. Again, it's the transformation. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the scripture. Write these words. Therefore, transformation, which is a synonym with to the word sanctification, it's interchangeable. Transformation, therefore, is an ongoing 100% work of the Holy Spirit and 100% your partnership. Trust me when I say, hey, there's so much nuance here in the Greek language, Greek grammar. So let's go there. Number one, command and imperative. Be transformed. That's a command, imperative, meaning the God of the universe is not asking me, Victor, would you like to be transformed? The God of the universe is not saying to me, making a suggestion, would you consider being transformed? No. It's a command and imperative. Victor Koh, be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the scripture. It's a command. So I need to obey. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's like this. I am drowning in the sea, and you throw me a life jacket, and you say, Victor, grab it. It's imperative. Command, grab it, for your life depends on it. Okay? So number one, it's imperative and it's command. Second, it's passive voice. Did you catch that nuance? Be transformed. Passive voice means the action is being done to you. The Holy Spirit doesn't say, Victor, transform yourself. No, he doesn't. He says, you are not the source of the action, which will be the active tense. It's passive voice. Be transformed. The work, the power, the action is from the Holy Spirit, and therefore it's 100% work of the Holy Spirit. At the same time, it's imperative command, as in I must participate with in partnership with the Holy Spirit 100%. Command, imperative, and passive voice. And third, present tense. We don't have this grammatical nuance in English as much as we do in Greek. Present tense means it's an ongoing tense. It's not one event. It's not one moment. It is a progression and a journey. And therefore, transformation is an ongoing 100% work of the Holy Spirit, and at the same time, 100% your partnership. So I want to just answer two questions from now on. Number one, therefore, the first question is, why do you need to be transformed or sanctified? Why? And the second question is, how do you get to be transformed? So let's get to the first question. Why do you need, do you want, should you be transformed and sanctified? Number one, let's go to verse 1, chapter 12 in Romans. Therefore, I urge you, says the Apostle Paul, in the power of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Now, when you come across the word therefore in the Bible, you got to know what it's there for. That makes sense. Meaning, therefore, is a transition into the consequence of what has been established before. As in, I love you, therefore, love me back. As in, hey, I was merciful to you, therefore, would you show me your mercy? See, something has been established before, therefore, here is our response. And that's the reason. So, therefore, we gotta find out what the word therefore is therefore. Let's go there. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's what? God's mercy. What has been established? What has taken place? God's mercy upon mercy has been shown to you and me. The Greek word for mercy, it's one of those hard words to translate, because oftentimes in the Bible translations, we see the word mercy, grace, but the Greek word is okitimos. It's like showing compassion, mercy, with deep emotions and feelings. Okay? Let me try this one more time. In view of God's deep, visceral, compassionate mercy, therefore, we do what? Be sanctified. We be transformed. So let's find out what has taken place. So we gotta find out what took place, what has God done for you and me in Romans chapter 1 to chapter 11, because the 12 starts with the word therefore. So what happened in terms of, in view of God's mercy? Mercy. Things that have presented to us, have been, that are presented to us, granted to us, applied to us, credited to us, which we do not deserve. All these acts of mercy. Number one, Romans 1 through 11, what we find out is this. We were unworthy sinners, and yet God, in His grace, in His generosity, in His kindness, in His goodness, He loved us while we were still sinners. When we were cursing God, when we were running away from God, when we were waving our fist at God, when we say, I don't want anything to do with you, God, that's when God loved you and me. What an amazing mercy. And again, in chapter 1 to 11, God has given us a gift of the Holy Spirit, who takes residence in us and by whom we cry, Abba, Father. This high, lofty, holy God becomes personal to us. We call Him Abba, Father, really affectionate form of someone, Father, but with it holy reverence and intimacy, we get to call Him Abba, Father. Again, Romans 1 through 11, what has God established? He has given us peace. Chapters 1, 2, 5, 8 talks about peace with God. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Another form of mercy is faith. Faith has been granted to us as a gift form of mercy. Again, comfort, chapters 1, verse 12, chapter 1, verse 16, comfort. God has given you comfort beyond understanding. And there's hope. So let me summarize. All these things God has established in 1 through 11 chapter of Romans, like share, receiving His patience, His forbearance, the Holy Spirit, faith, mercy of God, the Holy Spirit is living in us, and all this crescendo to the glory God is going to give to us. In view of God's mercy, therefore, what is our response? Be transformed, be sanctified, be changed by the renewing of the mind. Another reason, why should we be transformed? Verse 1, for this is an act of worship which is holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The word there, the proper, some translations use the word spiritual, others use the word reasonable or logical. The word there is logikos, from which we get the word logic. This is reasonable. In view of what God has done for you, it is reasonable, acceptable, expected that we respond to Him by being transformed, changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. It is a fitting response. Think it through. Think it through. If God has done all these glorious mercies for you, from verses 1 through 11, what would be a reasonable response from you to Him? Would it be a text, "Thanks God"? Would it be handwritten, "Oh, I really appreciate that"? Or would it be, "Lord, Heavenly Father, in view of what you have done, I'm going to be transformed. I'm going to partner with the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to become a new person"? That's right. Let me give you another reason why you and I should be transformed. Verse 2, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. Do you want to know what God's will is? Everyone does. Everyone says, "Oh, I wish God would just tell me what His plans are for me. Oh, I just pray that He will reveal to me His purposes for me. Oh, I just want to know, what should I do? What is God's will for me? Should I go here? Should I go there? Should I work here? I want God's will for me to be known." Listen, friends, when you are transformed, you will be able to test and approve. Approve not as in, "Oh, God, I approve. Way to go." No, no, no. Approve as in, "This is your will for me, God. I see it. I hear it. I feel it." You can only have that gift, that confidence, when you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Can I give you just one last reason you should be transformed, I should be transformed? This is really important. It's a wake-up call. Ready? Verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "In the power of the Holy Spirit, therefore I urge you," another word is, "I beseech you, I implore you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, be transformed." That word, he didn't use the word ask, "I ask you," or "I encourage you." This is a really strong word. "I urge you, I beseech you," because this is so, so, so important. You know why this is so important? There are three words that can be used to describe the completion of your salvation. This is how you know you're saved, okay? Number one, justification. Number two, sanctification. Number one, glorification. Justification, God justifies you. You are declared justified, forgiven, right? That's justification. And we say, "Oh, thank you, Lord, we love you, hallelujah." What's sanctification? And therefore, from the point of justification, from there on, you be transformed, you be changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That sanctification, that transformation is right here. And if that is not taking place, you should question if you have been justified. What Paul is saying, this is so important. Every person who has been justified will be going through the process of sanctification. That person will be being transformed for the rest of her life. This is why it's so important. The test is in the pudding. If we are not becoming like Christ in our character, in our trait, in our values, then I should ask myself, "Hey, have I been justified? Am I really saved?" Because without the justification, no sanctification. And let me put it this way. If you don't see sanctification happening, maybe there was no justification in the first place, without which there is no glorification. We will never be like Jesus. And this is why so important. I don't know if there's anything more important than this dropping the bomb. Are you being transformed by the renewing of your mind through the scripture? Because if you aren't, you should ask yourself, "Have I been truly justified?" Second question, let's move on. The second half. So therefore, how can you be transformed? Since I want to be transformed, God wants me to transform, He commands me, and I am giving my 100% partnership, what are the vehicles, what are the steps by which I can be transformed? Remember the theme and the goal. Be transformed by the what? Renewing of the mind, of your mind, through the scripture. Let's go to verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's it. Two parts. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So do not conform to the pattern. It's just one word. The word is skitimatio. It's really hard to say. Okay? The idea is, do not be shaped. The picture that I have in my mind is, imagine a cookie cutter. Okay? And you cut the dough with a cookie cutter, and every cookie looks the same. Every cookie is pressed the same. Every cookie is cooked the same. So it's being conformed, being molded into the pattern of the world. The Greek word for the world is not cosmos, but it's eon. It's age. So the better translation is, do not be conformed to the pattern, the mold, and the shape of this age, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. What is the pattern of this age? May I share my thoughts? Biggest obstacle, the sin of all sins, the mother of all evil, is this. The pattern of this world, which says, there is no God, therefore there is no truth. Since there is no truth, there is no absolute morality. Everything is subjective. What may be right for you is not right for me. And what may be right for me is not right for you. Everything is subjective. And hence, you come up with your own values. You define what values are important to you, and you give your own yourself, your own identity, who you are, what you are. And at the end, this is how you gain your security and your destiny. And it all starts with what? Since there is no God. This was the first sin that happened in the Garden of Eden. I don't have the time to explain this, but when the serpent said, hey, did God really say, do not eat of the fruit? He said that because if you did eat of it, then you will know. You'll be just like God. You will become like God, knowing good and evil, deciding your own values, deciding your own morality, deciding you become the master and the commander of your destiny. That is the pattern of this world. So therefore, there are three enemies, and they all start with the letter S. The first enemy is secular, the values of the age that wage war against Jesus. I'm not going to repeat myself, but it all starts with this. There is no God. Since there is no God, there is no truth. Since there is no truth, there is no morality. And since there is no morality, everything is subjective. I define what is good. I define what is right. I define the reality. It's not God dictating for you and me. No, stay here. This is life. Don't go there. That's death. Instead, we decide, no. Don't tell me what to do. I am my own God. So that is the age of the secular. That's the first enemy. Who's the second enemy? Satan. He's the deceiver. Satan comes along and he distorts the truth of the reality of who God is, of who you are. And he speaks lies to you. He whispers into your ears the things that are contrary to the truth of God's word. Secular, Satan, the third enemy, self, yourself. This is the old nature, the flesh. The Bible calls it your flesh. Even though if you have come to Christ, and when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and when He lives in you, you are a child of God, and you get to address God, Abba, Father, and yet the old nature, in me, the old self, he's not completely dead. He is lurking. And he is partnering with the Satan and the secular and waging a war against me. So the Bible says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this age, but instead what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, of your intellect, of your brain. It all starts from here. You feel what you feel because what you think and what you believe up here. And the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm going to renew your mind through the scripture. May I offer just three ways by which how we can be renewed by the scripture. Number one, renew your mind by the truth of scripture. By the truth of scripture. John 14 verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. There is truth in the scripture, because there is one God, the Creator, and the one whom God sent. His name is Jesus Christ. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus, he says. And that's because he is the truth. And since he is the truth, he is the way. And since he is the way, he is the life. Jesus again, in John 14, verse 46, 26, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send from the Father, that Holy Spirit will teach you all things and remind you of everything I taught you. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now through these bumbled words of this sinner. It's the work of the Holy Spirit living in me, working through me, and you receive the truth of the Scripture. And that's why you are paying attention, and that's why you are going to take actions about being transformed. Second, the power of Scripture. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That is the potency of the Scripture. Scripture, the Bible, is alive because it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit penned these truths down. And that's why it's alive. It's not just like any other book in history of humanity. It is alive and therefore active. It's like a surgeon. It performs surgeries on us so that we may live and get rid of the cancer cells in us. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That is the power of Scripture. Anything that is contrary to the truth of the Scripture has the power to take hold of that and demolish it and make it correct. And that's the power. So truth, power of Scripture, and lastly, the person of Scripture. John chapter 5, Jesus speaking. You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, don't think of the Scripture, the Bible, as a book, as a literature. Though it is a book, but it is more than that. Not less than that, but it's far more than that. It's alive, and it is always about the person of Jesus Christ. So don't study it in the Scripture. Don't study the Bible. Instead, meet the person of Jesus. And that's what Christ is saying. What point is there when you diligently, intently study the Bible, and if you don't meet Jesus? Because the whole point is about meeting the person of Jesus Christ. So as you go into the Scripture, it's a book, yes. It's a literature, yes. But what's the point? To find and to meet the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why in Mosaic House Church, we always, always encourage, when you read the scripture, you're going to meet Jesus. And that's why you want to use the method called picture it method. See yourself in the story. Put your name in the personal pronouns. Make it personal. Have it speak to you the way Jesus is speaking to you. John, Jane, Victor, Mike. Remember, be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the scripture. Let me end with Sarah, you know, the young woman with whom I began the message. So there she was. Her father left. The family was shattered and broken. And she had all kinds of issues because of that. She thought of God as this distant figure because her relationship with her earthly father was that in which she felt abandoned, neglected, uncared. She felt unloved. So that really messed up her relationship with God. But you know what happened to Sarah? She saw the changes that happened in her mother as her mother went to a local church and met Jesus in the scripture. She was being transformed. Sarah tried. She said, I don't want to stay stuck like this for the rest of my life. So she went. And what she discovered was, in the scripture, as she was being transformed by renewing of her mind, she discovered that God has become her father in heaven. Not like her earthly father, but a perfect father. She felt loved. She no longer felt abandoned or neglected. Instead, she felt cared for. And she found new meaning, new purpose. And she is going to the scripture each day. And her mind is being renewed. And because of that, she is being transformed. She ends her story by saying, I was able to forgive my earthly father. I can love him now. Do you want that kind of transformation? Let us be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the scripture. Oh, I forgot to tell you. 3 steps. Crawl, walk, and run. Oh my goodness, how did I forget that? Crawl, therefore. I'll be quick. I apologize. I'll be quick. Crawl, application, okay? Some of you are in different places on this journey of being transformed in the scripture, right? Okay, so we got 3 options in one bundle. I sound like a salesman. 3 options in one bundle. 1, crawl. 2, walk. 3, run. And all in the bundle of community. Crawl. Some of you, this is very new. Don't try to run a marathon tomorrow. Just go for a walk for 10 minutes. So crawl. Subscribe. Renew your mind with Soul Food, which is our daily devotion. It's like 5 minutes long. That's it. 1 verse, 2 verses, really short passage, and some reflection. That may be your soul food because you're crawling. Some of you, you should be walking. Walking as in renew your mind with scripture, with a reading plan. Read not just excerpts of the scriptures, but read the books of the scriptures. Read the book of John from chapter 1 to chapter 21. Read the book of Psalms from chapter 1 to chapter 153. Read by the books because you could run. Because when you read by the books, the scripture is a book that have many books. You could do this. You should do it because you are walking. For those of you, you are able to run. Renew your mind with discipleship. Take somebody along your side, under your wings, and share with that person what you have gained from the scripture. Make disciples of that person so that person may disciple of somebody else. All 3 options in one bundle in a house church. The scripture is to be received interpreted and applied in a community church, or better yet, in a house church where this can really happen. So may the Holy Spirit encourage you. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we trust that you are glorified and we are being edified. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We are listening to your still voice. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Keep giving us this desire to be transformed by renewing of our mind through the Scripture. Always, always lead us to the person of Jesus when we go to the Scripture, the Bible. Thank you, Lord. Change is possible and it's expected. In the name of Christ, amen.